For more on the possible chemical attack, I'm joined by Jeffrey White, a former senior analyst at the Defense Intelligence Agency, now at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, and Amy Smithson, a senior fellow at the James Martin Center for Nonproliferation Studies. Jeffrey White, the images are terrible. What does this tell you about the state of the civil war in Syria?
Well, unbelievably, it continues to escalate, right? It looks like the regime conducted this operation using a fairly significant amount of chemical weapon, and it demonstrates once again that the regime will go as far as it needs to win this war.
What's the significance of the location so close to Damascus?
These were areas, East Ghouta and Western Ghouta in the Damascus suburbs, that the rebels have held and controlled for a long time. The regime has been conducting a series of extended offensives to get the rebels out of these areas unsuccessfully. It's also been losing troops, personnel, tanks, and so on in these offensives. So it looks to me like the regime is trying to make a decisive action here to force the rebels out.
Amy Smithson, several European foreign ministers today said they're going to wait till there is verification of what they saw in that video. The Turkish foreign minister's spokesman said he saw all he needed to see. This was clearly a chemical attack. When video like this arrives of uncertain provenance, you don't know who shot it, you don't know who the people are in the video, how do you determine whether it's the real thing?
Well, the last incident that the world saw where there were chemical casualties on this scale was Halabja, which was Saddam Hussein's attack in 1988 against a small town, a Kurdish village. There weren't cell phones around then to record all these types of images. The only pictures I've ever seen of that are still photographs. And I've heard of no reports anywhere else in the world of an incident of this magnitude. So all signs are pointing toward Damascus, and this is something that happened within the last 24 hours.
But when a government has policy decisions that may hinge on the verifiability, the authenticity of these images, how do you satisfy yourself that you know what you're seeing, where it happened, how many casualties there are?
Well, I think the casualty toll will become clearer with the passage of time. These people were taken to several different hospitals and even makeshift facilities. And it's really impossible to know from just video images what specific chemical was involved. These symptoms that you're seeing, the twitching, the pinpoint pupils, sometimes convulsing, are consistent with exposure to toxic chemicals. Not necessarily just sarin or VX, the classic warfare agents. And the inspectors that are there have sampling equipment and will be able to determine that if they're let out of the hotel.
Well, that's a good point. The inspection regime often involves negotiations before the team arrives about what they're going to be able to see, where they're going to be able to go. When an incident happens once they're already on the ground, can you renegotiate the terms when they're in country?
You can try. The Syrian government, you know, certainly has demonstrated over the past several years that in any negotiations over any access like this, it's a very difficult partner in those negotiations. It tries to circumscribe as much as possible the activity of any UN team operating inside Syria. It puts conditions on what they can do. It rejects proposals that they make to take inspection type actions when it feels like it doesn't want that to happen. So there's no guarantee that the UN inspectors will be able to see anything outside of their hotel room. The regime clearly has a significant interest in denying access to this area. That if they do, it will be a sign that that they are in fact guilty of this particular action.
Amy Smithson, is Syria a signatory of any treaties that limit the production and use of chemical weapons?
Syria is not a member of the Chemical Weapons Convention, which does just that. But 100 and other 88 nations are. And this is a treaty that outlaws the use not just of sarin and VX, but of any toxic chemical for military purposes. And I agree with Mr. White that it looks like a concentrated pre-dawn attack. This is something that a commander who is knowledgeable in ideal conditions for having a gas hang in the same area. If you did this in the middle of the day, the wind's likely to blow it away. In these pre-dawn hours, it's cool, the winds are very low, and the gas will just stay where it's fired.
So it sounds like you have no doubt that it's a fairly small number of players in Syria who would even be able to carry out an attack like this.
The scale of this attack is very different from previous incidents, which the casualty tolls were rather small and maybe one device was used to deliver it. This is coordinated in the pre-dawn hours in a quantity of material that's probably inconsistent with anything other than somebody who's been making this stuff and has a delivery capability that can put that much on the target in that short period of time.
So Syria is not a signatory, but the world is full of them, including some of the most able nations on the planet. Are they on the hook for some kind of response if a non-signatory violates the terms of that treaty?
I think they're on the hook in terms of the morality of the situation and the circumstances of what's going on there. I don't know if they're required to do anything, you know, by any of the protocols or whatever they have signed. But certainly there's a moral obligation to take action here. This is a horrific act. Probably by the Syrian government. So there's going to be pressure to take action, not just to punish for what happened here, but to prevent any further action along these lines.
Amy?
The Chemical Weapons Convention requires every state that signs it to agree to provide assistance in the event that any other member is threatened with or undergoes an attack. Now, Syria is not a member, but we are talking about basic human decency here, which is one of the reasons why I have encouraged countries to provide defensive equipment, not just to the Syrian rebels, but to the Syrian civilians.
It's pretty hard to defend against this kind of thing, isn't it?
Well, a gas mask will go a long way to help, and it's not ideal. Ideally, you would be able to provide them with a defensive garb that covers you all over. But prior to the 1991 war, Israel equipped its entire civilian population with gas masks. And what you could see in these films was that the Syrian civilians were trying to decontaminate the victims, to wash their skin, which would help reduce the possible effects there. So gas masks and some serious coaching about how to decontaminate and decontaminate fast will reduce the amount of casualties. It won't eliminate it.
Amy Smithson, Jeffrey White, thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.